On a day when a panel of international climate experts reported in a new study that the dangers of climate change are mounting so rapidly that they could soon overwhelm the ability of both nature and humanity to adapt unless greenhouse gas emissions are quickly reduced, conservative members of the U.S. Supreme Court questioned during oral arguments whether the Environmental Protection Agency has the authority to even regulate those emissions from power plants. This is Justin Catanoso. I am a professor of journalism at Wake Forest University, a climate journalist and a member of Wake Forest's Center for Energy, Environment, and Sustainability. I'm here with Stan Myberg, the director of Wake Forest's Graduate Program in Sustainability and also a SEAS board member. Before coming to Wake, he was the acting deputy administrator of the EPA, who was present during the drafting of the Clean Power Plan during the Obama administration, and understands how regulations under the Clean Power Act flow under the law. It's February 28th, 2022. Stan, the Supreme Court just heard oral arguments today in about what authority EPA has to regulate carbon emissions from power plants. Now, keep in mind that power plants are the second highest producer of greenhouse gas emissions behind transportation. Can you briefly explain who is suing and what's at stake in this suit?
Yes, Justin, thank you. The lawsuit was brought by the state of West Virginia and other states, along with various coal and other fossil fuel interests. And the argument is that EPA's authority is actually very limited under the Clean Air Act as to what it can do to reduce carbon emissions from power plants.
Stan, I'm a little confused because I don't know that the EPA has actually issued any regulations regarding carbon emissions yet, have they?
Well, EPA's actually made two efforts, one in the Obama administration with the Clean Power Plan, and that was overturned, and a new plan was issued under the Trump administration called the Affordable Clean Energy Act. That particular rule in the Trump administration was litigated and overturned by the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals on January 19th, and the current case is a follow-on consequence of that decision by the D.C. Circuit.
So very briefly, the D.C. Circuit ruled how?
The D.C. Circuit ruled that the Trump administration had arbitrarily and capriciously limited EPA's authority to address carbon emissions, and so therefore vacated the rule that the Trump administration had done. What this lawsuit does is you have the plaintiffs arguing that the D.C. Circuit's opinion was improper and that, in fact, EPA's authority is, in fact, quite constrained.
Okay. So again, what's at stake in this particular argument today when there aren't rulings on the table?
What's at stake is the authority of EPA using the Clean Air Act to take further steps to reduce carbon emissions from existing power plants.
Okay, so we have this news today from this UN body saying that we are in terrible trouble because carbon emissions are escalating so rapidly. And now we have the EPA perhaps being hamstrung in its ability to regulate carbon emissions. Is that a correct potential outcome here?
Yes, it is. This would restrict EPA's ability to do broader things that seem to be within its authority under the Clean Air Act to address carbon emissions from power plants.
All right. I know this is a silly question, but why are the plaintiffs seeking to do this?
Well, think about it. The plaintiffs are the state of West Virginia, the state of North Dakota, coal interests, and generally fossil fuel states and interests are concerned that any effort by EPA to reduce emissions from carbon is going to harm the economies of their states.
And they're essentially saying that the EPA has overstepped its authority, correct?
That is exactly right.
All right, Stan. You know, in the 39 years that you spent at the EPA, you had lots of experience, mostly in the eastern part of the United States. Clean air was one of your specialties. You retired as the number two person there. Stan, in your view, has the EPA overstepped its authority when it comes to clean air and regulating carbon emissions?
I do not think so. I think the case in this particular case that the Clean Air Act does, in fact, give the agency the authority to do it. It does require some interpretation of sections of the statute to apply that authority, but the genius of the Clean Air Act, passed in 1970, was that it realized that you didn't know everything you were going to know later and could adapt that statute to meet changing circumstances.
In other words, Congress gave this flexibility to an expert agency to say, act as you see fit, and we'll review later?
Well, Act as you see fit is perhaps a little broad, that EPA, like every other agency of the federal government, operates under a system of delegated powers. You cannot act contrary to law. But no law, even one as detailed as the Clean Air Act, can anticipate every circumstance, and the drafters of the Clean Air Act were smart enough to understand that.
And that's essentially what the plaintiffs want here. They want Congress to direct the EPA every single time an issue comes up regarding carbon emissions.
They believe in this case that the authority to do what EPA might like to do in terms of regulating carbon would have such a vast impact on the economy of the country that it should be considered a major question. And unless Congress has specifically directed such a step, that the agency would be exceeding its authority to do it on its own.
Okay. Stan, as you look back over the last 30 years, how effective have we been as a country in reducing carbon emissions with just the Clean Air Act? You know, the Clean Power Plan never went into effect.
No, that's a great question. And one of the interesting stories about how you never can precisely predict the future. In 2015, when the Clean Power Plan was adopted, the objective was to have a 32% reduction in carbon emissions from 2005 baseline by the year 2030. Now in 2021, as we sit here, the utility sector has actually reduced emissions by 30% already. So it makes a pretty good argument that other forces at work, some governmental, some market forces, have had the effect of reducing carbon emissions from the utility sector.
So we are moving in the right direction. But again, coming back to today's report from the IPCC, we certainly aren't moving fast enough. Stan, is the Clean Air Act enough to attain our carbon reduction goals under the Biden administration, which is 50 to 52% in 8 years?
The Clean Air Act is a useful tool, but if you relied solely on the Clean Air Act, I do not think it will be enough. The things that will be needed in American society to try to make these tough reduction targets go not just to the utility sector, not just to the transportation sector, but to the industrial sector, to agriculture, to buildings and residential. And I think it will require certainly more than the authority the EPA has under the Clean Air Act now to do that.
Okay, let's come back in our final question and let's bring it back to the Supreme Court. What outcome that among the many outcomes that this court could decide in this case, what outcome concerns you the most?
The outcome that concerns me the most is that the court would give a stronger voice to the point of view that says, unless Congress directs very specifically everything that an administrative agency should do, that it can't do anything. That, in my view, would be disabling for government in the United States and put a burden on Congress that it can't sustain. No law can anticipate every element in the future, and wise legislative drafting recognizes that and has to give some discretion to an administrative agency to interpret those laws in light of changing circumstances. And that affects far more than just the Clean Air Act or even climate change. It affects almost every aspect of the way government works in the United States.
Yeah, that would be a significant concern. Stan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Justin.